Proverbs 8 and verse 20. It says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. So the I here, of course, is wisdom personified. She's still speaking to us. And we see here that wisdom is a leader because she says, I lead in the way of righteousness. And to lead is to cause, to go along with oneself, to bring or take a person or animal to a place. So you think about a leader is bringing people along with himself in a, sometimes in a, excuse me, in a figurative sense, right? The leader of a company is bringing people along with him to be able to produce whatever the company wants to produce, to end up making money or offer a service or whatever. He's leading them along, bringing them along, taking the company in the direction that he wants it to go. That's more of a figurative thing. But you could also have a leader, like if you hired a, what are those guys called that take you on hunts, like out west?
A guide.
Yeah. So that would be a leader too, or he would literally lead you through the wilderness, taking you to where the animals are. Or they have fishing guides too, where you get on a boat and they take you out where the fish are. And so that would be more of a natural sense of a leader. So wisdom leads God's children by way of the Word of God. That's how she does it. Proverbs 6, 22 through 23. It says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. This is talking about the commandment, talking about the Word of God. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So the Word of God will lead us. How does it do so? Well, you read the Word of God, and then you're going through life, and there's a fork in the road, and you think, well, what should I do? And then you think, well, what does the Scripture say? What would be the best thing to do, which would be in keeping with the commandments of God, the precepts that are laid down there, the guidelines and boundaries that are in the Word of God? And you say, you know, this would be the best course of action, because that lines up with what I read in the Scripture. That's how the Scripture guides you and leads you. And that's how wisdom does so, because her word is the Scripture. And wisdom will lead Christians away from evil men and women. You remember Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 10 through 18. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Deliver thee from his way. A way is like a path. If he delivers you from the way of the evil man, what's she doing? Leading you away, leading you in a different path to steer clear of this guy, right? Who leave the paths of uprightness, there we go, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. You remember in Proverbs 7, where Solomon watched the young man, and he went down the path to her house. If he would have had wisdom from the Word of God, he would have said, you know what, bad time of night, bad part of town, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be going here. And when I see that woman standing out there with the attire of a harlot, I better go the other way. Right? So she would have led him away if he would have had the wisdom from the Word of God to steer clear of such a place. But it says here, wisdom leads in the way of righteousness. A way is a track prepared or available for traveling along, a road, street, lane, or path. So she leads in the path of righteousness, in other words. It's always best if you have a path. When you have a path to follow, it's harder to get lost. You ever walked out through the woods with no path, and you're just kind of out there, and maybe it's a cloudy day, and there's no sun, you don't know which direction you're going if you get turned around? Pretty hard. It's pretty easy when you're walking on a path, right? It doesn't matter if it's day or night or sun or whatever. You just follow the path, right? Well, wisdom leads in the way of righteousness. Righteousness is justice, uprightness, rectitude, conformity of life to the requirements of the divine or moral law, virtue, integrity. So this is the way in which wisdom leads. The way that you take when you're following her is a way of righteousness, uprightness, doing the right thing, keeping God's commandments, things that are pleasing to him, doing what is virtuous, maintaining integrity. When you're walking in the ways of wisdom, you're walking in those ways, in morally upright ways. You probably recognize this verse, because this was our memory verse here a few weeks ago in Psalm 23 and verse 3. I could do a pop quiz and have you recite it, but I won't. Psalm 23 and verse 3 says, "He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Why does God lead us in the paths of righteousness? For his name's sake. Because he wants us to walk in those ways, because Jesus Christ died for us and he wants us to follow him. He wants us to make him look good. Right? I mean, don't parents want their kids to behave for one reason, or one of the reasons why parents want their kids to behave? To make them look good, or at least not make them look bad? Right? Well, that's why God leads us in the way of righteousness, for his name's sake.
Isn't it also because he's a righteous God, and therefore, for his name's sake, to uphold his reputation of righteousness?
Right, that's right. So the word of God will never lead you into sin or foolishness, but always in the way that is just and right. So if anybody ever reads the Bible and comes to the conclusion that they should do something sinful, they misread it, they didn't understand it, they intentionally were willingly ignorant, they twisted it, they did something. Because you can come up with all kinds of crazy stuff if you just start taking verses out of context and, you know, matching things up that shouldn't be matched up. I always like the example that... See if I can remember it, where it says that Judas went and hanged himself, and then Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." And in another place, he said, "That thou doest do quickly." So go hang yourself quickly like Judas did. Right? So you can take pieces of verses and throw them together, and you could make the Bible say anything you wanted to. But the Bible, the Word of God, is never going to lead you into sin or foolishness. And he that trusteth in God will never be ashamed either. It's never going to make you ashamed. When you do the right thing, even when people think you're crazy, people maybe think you're stupid, you're never going to be ashamed. It'll always pan out well in the end when you keep the scripture. So she says, "I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment." So wisdom leads in the midst of the paths of judgment. Midst is the middle point or part. The center, middle. A path is a way beaten or trodden by the feet of men or beasts, a track formed incidentally by passage between places. Figuratively, it's a course of action or procedure, line of conduct, way of behavior, less commonly a course or line of thought, argument, or the like. So when we're looking at it in the figurative sense here, it is a course of action or procedure, a way of life, behavior. So wisdom leads in the midst of the path. So when we're talking about our conduct and our behavior, wisdom leads right down the middle. The paths of judgment are what these paths are specifically. Judgment is the action of trying a case in a court of justice, trial. Now that's not the sense that it's used in here. Judgment, as it's used here, is the formation of an opinion or notion concerning something by exercising the mind upon it. An opinion, estimate. The faculty of judging, ability to form an opinion, that function of the mind whereby it arrives at a notion of anything. The critical faculty, discernment. Good or sound judgment. Discernment, discretion, wisdom, understanding, or good sense. So when we talk about a person having good judgment, we mean that he can analyze the situation and come to a correct opinion about what should be done or what should not be done. That's a person who has judgment. He has discernment, discretion. He can make a difference between things and figure out where the truth is, and he can sort out all the lies. He's got good judgment. He makes good decisions, in other words. Wisdom leads in the midst of the paths of judgment. So when it comes to the paths of judgment and figuring out which way and how we ought to live and trying to sort out all of the bad ways that we could go about things and find the right way to do it. Wisdom leads right down the middle. She doesn't veer to the right hand or to the left in judgment. Look at Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. I'll give you a few examples of this here in a second. Proverbs 4, 25 through 27. It says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. She leads in the midst of the paths. She doesn't turn to the right or to the left. She just stays right down the middle. Now look at Joshua 1 and verse 7. And a lot of times in life, when you try to walk down the middle is the best way. Because if you go off too far in either direction, chances are you're going to find error over there in the fringes. Joshua 1 and verse 7. The Lord tells Joshua, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So follow the law. Don't go to the right, don't go to the left. Just stay right in the middle of what God told you to do. One more, Deuteronomy 17 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 7. Says, the hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. I didn't think that was the right verse. 17:11. That was 7. I kept reading because I figured I'm going to get to the part that I'm looking for here. I often quit too early, so I figured I'm not going to give up so easily. Verse 11, Deuteronomy 17:11, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand nor to the left. This is speaking of judgment. When they would give judgment and sentence on something, you stick with that judgment. Don't go to the right hand, don't go to the left. You know, if a judge would rule in a case and he'd say, this guy is guilty and he needs 10 lashes, don't give him 40 and don't give him none, right? Not to the right, not to the left. Stick with the judgment. So wisdom doesn't err in the extremes of, for instance, legalism or unrestrained liberty, right? Because those are two different extremes, right? To the right would be legalism, where you're so legalistic that you feel like you've got to have rules and laws laid down for everything, and you got people going back to the Old Testament keeping all these laws that we don't even apply to us anymore. But then on the other hand, you have unrestrained liberty, where it's just like, oh, you know, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound, and we're not under the law, we're under grace, and you can do anything you want. Right? So it's down the middle is the correct position, not with legalism, not with unrestrained liberty. Or wisdom doesn't make rules for her children which are too oppressive or too permissive. And parents can err doing both. And we've probably all seen this. I've certainly seen this before, where parents sometimes are too oppressive. They're probably too worried about their kids, and they don't let them eat any little thing that might not be good for them, and they don't let them ever go out with their friends, or they don't ever let them out of their sight. I mean, there are literally parents like that that will not let their kids out of their sight until they're fully grown and married. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Helicopter parenting.
Yeah, exactly. But then again, there's the other extreme on the left, which would be too permissive, where parents just let their kids do whatever they want, and they pretty much have no controls on them at all, and it's just a free-for-all. And then they wonder, oh, why did my kids get into drugs and fornication and drunk driving and partying? And, well, maybe because you didn't restrain them at all. You didn't do anything. You just let them do whatever they want. Or, another example, wisdom doesn't blindly follow political theories on the right or on the left, but she rather walks in the truth as revealed in the scripture. Right? Because you can, politically, you can get way off to the right and get in with the skinheads and the neo-Nazis and the whatever, or you can get way off on the left with the commies, either way, and you're going to be wrong in either camp. So it's good to be, you know, middle of the road, so to speak, although a lot of people that are middle of the road politically pretty much just have no principles. They don't even know what they think, but I think you get the point anyway. Wisdom stays right in the middle to make it through the straight and narrow gate which leads to life. Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 14. Because if you're going to make it through the straight and narrow gate, well, you've got to stay right in the middle. Because straight and narrow, well, narrow means it's not very wide, and straight means that it's constricted, it's tight. And if you're going to make it through that gate, you better be right smack dab in the middle. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. That's why people think, you know, that people like us or preachers like me are a little wound a little too tight when it comes to doctrine, it comes to church practice and things like that. But you know, the way to life is straight and narrow. And there's not a whole lot of room there for just kind of veering off wherever you feel like. No, we gotta stick to the book. Stay right in the middle. Matthew 7, 13 through 14, enter ye in at the strait. Strait means, when we're talking about a way or passage or channel, it's so narrow as to make transit difficult. Figuratively, it's a conventional limited procedure or way of life. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That's why this church is small, because few there be that find it, that find the way to life, the narrow way and the straight gate. And that's why these mega churches out there are full. Because broad is the way. I mean, they literally have a big old broad highway and a lot. I mean, there's anybody can get on there that wants to, and you can come right in, and there's not much of any requirements at all. So if we commit the scriptures to memory and hide them in our hearts, we will hear wisdom's voice leading us in the midst of the paths of judgment when we turn to the right hand or to the left. I really like this verse, Isaiah 30 and verse 21. And we should pray that this would be true of us. Isaiah 30 and verse 21 says, in thine ears shall be a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. And I know I've given you this verse before. Question? What did I say?
Be a word.
Oh, in thine eyes shall hear a word? What did I say? Be a word. Oh. I don't know about that. But thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. That's what you call a conscience. That's when you're making your way through life and you have a decision to make, or you find yourself veering off to the road one way or the other, you find yourself starting to drift off into sin, and you get that little voice in your head saying, get back on the road, don't do that, remember what the scripture says. That's that little voice. That's why it's important to read it and hide it in your heart. So that takes care of verse 20, and next time we will pick up with verse 21.
Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.